Better, amen. John chapter 17, if we can turn there this morning. John chapter 17, I want to read the chapter for us. John chapter 17. John chapter 17, we get some wonderful insight into the Lord Jesus talking to God the Father. And there's some wonderful promises in that. Those who are at our family camp will be mindful of some of those verses which Brother Crow spoke about, our relationship with the world, and we'll be reading those this morning. I won't be focusing on those, but we'll be reading through those. John chapter 17, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Amen. We read through that chapter there. Verse 20 is always a blessing. Neither pray for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. The Lord, in that sense, was also praying for us right back there 2,000 years ago, those that believe on him through his word. This morning I wanted to start in verse 3 though, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the singing. And Lord, we are in a strait twixt two, that the Lord Jesus may come at any moment. We're aware of that. And Lord, part of us says, even so, come, Lord Jesus. But Lord, there's another part that says we know there's a work to do and there's things we'd like to see happen in one sense here on earth. And Lord, in that sense, we're in a strait. But Lord, we would pray, not our will, but thy will be done. And may the Lord Jesus come in your perfect time. May we be found watching and ready when that great day comes. But Lord, in the meantime, Lord, as we spend this time together, I pray you would quicken us. May your word have free course. May your will be accomplished. Lord, if there be anyone unsaved here this morning, that they might not leave this place unsaved, but they might trust Christ as their Saviour. Lord, for God's people to be encouraged and to be built up in our walk with you, we pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 3 again says this, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Eternal life is not just a little package that God gives us. Eternal life is a relationship with God. It's an experiential relationship, walk with God. The word know is not just merely having some facts in our head. The devil believes in God and trembles. It's not just believing in God. It's having a personal relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. He said, this is life eternal. For you and I to have life eternal, then we need to trust Christ as our Saviour, and we will have life eternal. Now, I want to ask you this morning a couple of questions and then work through some thoughts here. Do you have a real living relationship with God? Do you have a relationship with God, which is a real living relationship with God, or are you a part of the great host of people who believe there's a God somewhere out there in the universe, it may be in heaven or wherever, but they do not know God as their own Saviour. They do not know Christ as their Saviour. Do you have a real living relationship with God? Another question, do you walk with God daily? Young people, do you walk with God daily? The third question, do you have fellowship with God? Do you and I enjoy fellowship with God? Are we walking with God? Do we have a real, vital, living relationship with God? For this is life eternal. They might know thee, the only true God. It's having that relationship, that walk, that fellowship with God. Anything outside that is not salvation. I don't care how religious people are, I don't care how often they go to church, I don't care how often they pray or read their Bibles. It's all about, salvation is all about having an eternal, living relationship, fellowshipping and walking with God. That's what it's all about. You see, we think salvation is just getting a ticket to heaven. That's not, that. Look, when you get saved, your sins are forgiven and from there on, your final destination will be heaven after death or when the Lord comes. No question about that. But do you have a living relationship with God? Do you have a walk with God? Do you have fellowship with God? You know, I've been reading some books recently and listening to some messages, and I've mentioned it just in passing, Pastor Terry Crumer, and he makes some startling comments. He says, from what he understands, that up to 80% of young people who are born into or grow up in an independent Baptist church, we're not talking about other church for a minute, up to 80% of them do not go on to live for God and walk with God. Now, that is a staggering figure. I don't know how he gets all that. But they have some sort of things they do. I don't know what sort of surveys they do. I read of another survey, a particular large fundamental, I think it was, Bible college. I'll take the word fundamental out for a minute. The large Bible college in America, they surveyed their past graduates and they did some stats, and they found out that I think it was something like 40% of them had been married and divorced. I mean, that is a shocking figure. These are supposed to be the elite of God's people, so-called, going to Bible college, and yet 40% of them or more have been married and divorced, and their lives are a wreck. Now, what's that saying? That's saying they did not have a real, vital, living walk with God. Didn't have it. Did not have daily fellowship with God. Terry Coomer says, or Coomer, must check out what it is, Coomer or Coomer, either way. He says that's the major reason why young people do not go on after they get 17, 18, or somewhere thereabouts, and they're old enough to get out of their home. They go off and they live like the devil because they've never had a vital, living relationship with God. They've maybe memorized a lot of verses. They maybe even went to a Christian school. They maybe even read their Bible. They may be regular in church, but they never had a vital, living relationship with God. They went through the motions of it. They did it because they were sort of forced to, because they weren't old enough to do their own thing. But when they get old enough, off they go. And it's a disgrace, and it's a blight upon the name of Christ, and it's a shame that should be the case. Do you have a real living relationship with God? Are you walking with God? Do you have fellowship with God daily? We're not talking about praying when the pressure's on. We're not talking about, you know, just going to church on Sunday or whatever, anything like that. Do you have this relationship, this walk with God? You know, in human relationships, I'm gonna try and get this real simple this morning so you don't miss it. In human relationships, what do? We talk to one another, don't we? I talk to my wife, she talks to me. I talk to our children, they talk to me. That's having a relationship with them to a degree. Now, what we talk about and how long we talk will depend on how rich that relationship is and how we go on with things. But the simplicity is this: we talk to one another, we respond to one another, and we listen to one another. Now, do you talk with God? Does he talk to you? Do you listen to God? Does God listen to you? Because if you don't know that for a fact, then you don't have a living relationship with God. You're not walking with God. If you don't know what it is to talk to God and God to talk to you, if you don't know what it is to listen to God and God listening to you and answering, and you're having dialogue and you're talking and you're having this relationship, then something's not right in your life. Something's not right. This is life eternal. They might know thee. The word know is this experiential knowing God. Not just knowing about God. Not just believing God. But walking with God and having a relationship with God. The Bible tells us that Noah walked with God. Enoch walked with God. And he had this testimony that he pleased God. Hebrews 11:5. Enoch walked with God. He had this relationship with God. He spoke with God and God spoke with him, and he followed God and God led him, and on it goes. There is this relationship. Elijah had that sort of relationship with God. God said to Elijah, I want you to do this and I want you to do that and I want you to come here and I'm going to take care of you there. And Elijah is responding to God and God's talking with Elijah, and there's this relationship going on. Now, many, many people who profess Christians or profess Christianity or profess to believe in God know nothing about that sort of a relationship. And young people, do you know something about that? I'm not saying do you know the whole Bible. I'm not saying do you know everything about God and every doctrine. Nobody knows all that sort of stuff. But do you know God? Do you have a relationship with him? Are you saved? This is life eternal. They might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. There's only one way to get saved. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That counts out the Buddhists, that counts out the Hindus, that counts out the Muslims, that counts out any religion that thinks that they're going to get to God somehow outside the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You say, how could he say that? Because he was the Son of God. And not only that, as the Son of God, he died on the cross for our sins. He paid the price for our sins. He rose again physically and bodily from the grave on the third day. We spoke this morning in our class, is asking Jesus in your heart salvation? The Bible nowhere teaches that you ask Jesus in your heart. And there is an application you can make. But if you're going to be saved, then you need to have a total change in your thinking, in your heart and in your life, which is called repentance. And you turn from yourself, your religious ways, whatever it is you think is going to get you to heaven, and you turn to God and you trust the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe that he died in your place on the cross, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. That's how you get saved. Repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe on him. You receive him in that sense as your Savior. But once you've received him as your Savior, you need to learn to walk with him daily. You need to have fellowship with God. I mean, what an incredible opportunity and a privilege to have fellowship with God. And yet so often we base our life on our relationships on a human level and not much more than that. But God wants you and I to walk with him. Imagine the privilege that is ours. The God who created all things, the God of the universe, the God who rules all things, the eternal God who is all-powerful and all-knowing and omniscient, all those things. God says, I want to have a relationship with you. I want to walk with you. I want to have fellowship with you. I want to have a real, living, vital relationship with you. Now, do you know something of that this morning? I trust you do. Now, there's two sides of it. It's me talking to God. That's one side of the relationship. The other side of the relationship is God talking to me. And I want to look, first of all, at this side, me talking to God. And ask you something about your prayer life and your praying. And see if really you are talking with God, or are you just sending words up into the sky? Are you communicating with God? Is God hearing you? When you pray, is it just words going to the ceiling and you just say a little prayer? You know, how often do you hear it at funerals and all these other places? You know, the religious carry on. They get up there and they say, as our Lord Jesus taught us to pray, and I'm careful how I say this, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, amen. And they think they've said their prayers. That's not having a relationship with God. That's not having a vital knowledge of God and walking with God. That's mere religious repetition. And the Lord Jesus warned about vain repetition. He said, when you pray, don't be like the heathen who think they'll be heard by their much praying and their vain repetition. You know, you get those Hindu wheels and they put a little prayer on the wheel and they just spin them around, round, 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 round. You know, all this kind of thing. That's not having a relationship with God. Prayer. Prayer, you know, say, what's prayer? Prayer, very simply, prayer is talking with God. When I'm praying, I'm talking to God. I don't know who you're talking to, but I'm talking to God when I'm praying. Praying, it's just that simple, talking to God. In relationships, you talk to one another, amen? That's what, you're talking. And so when I'm praying, I'm talking. Now have a look in Luke chapter 11. We'll look at some more scriptures to try and encourage us this morning that we have this real relationship with God. A real walk with God. Real fellowship with God. In Luke chapter 11, the Lord Jesus teaches us some things about prayer. Verse 1, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Imagine that. They were there when the Lord Jesus prayed, and they were so impressed with his communication with God the Father. They said, Lord, teach us to talk to God as well, would you? We've heard you talking to the Father. Now, could you teach us to talk to the Father? And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, there's some basic things that the Lord Jesus, these are some things you need to talk to the Father about. You need to give him some praise. You need to acknowledge him. You need to acknowledge him as your heavenly Father. You need to be praying that God's will be done. You need to be praying that some things like that would take place. You need to be asking him for bread daily. You need to ask for forgiveness of sin. You need to ask for some things. You need to talk to God about some things. And he said unto them, verse 5, which you shall have a friend, shall say, go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. His importunity, this idea, he keeps asking, keeps asking, keeps asking, keeps asking. And I say unto you, ask and shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened. For everyone that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. The Lord Jesus said prayer or talking to God should be all the time talking to God. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul said, pray without ceasing. Talk to God all the time. That's what he's saying. When he says pray without ceasing, he means be talking to God all the time. Make it a habit of your life. Talk to God. Pray. Talk to God. Don't stop praying for something. So when you say pray without ceasing, that means you've got to pray 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. No, we're not saying that. You can't do that. But what we are saying is, number one, when you pray about something, keep praying about it. Keep talking to God about it. I've got this thing I'm praying about. Well, keep talking to him about it. Keep talking to him about it. Keep praying about it. Be the Lord Jesus said, just keep doing it. Keep asking, keep asking, keep talking to God. Keep seeking, keep knocking, keep doing that. Pray without ceasing. Keep asking about these things. But you say, well, I thought you just had to pray once and that's it. Some things, that's all you have to do is pray once. If you want wisdom, ask God for wisdom. Talk to God. Say, Lord, I need some wisdom. God will give it. You don't have to keep asking 1,000 times. He just says, ask and I'll give it. But other things, he says you've got to ask and then ask again. And keep asking, like the man who needed some bread. And he came to his friend. I said, I need some bread. His friend said, go away, I'm in bed asleep. He said, I'm not going to go away, I want some bread. He said, go away, we're tired, go home. So I'm not going home, I want some bread. He said, go away. In the end, he said, ah, it's no use. Better get him some bread. He's not going to go until I get it. The Lord said, just keep talking to him. Keep asking. Some things you have to do that. Something, you know, it's like praying for someone to be saved. Sometimes you just have to keep asking and keep asking and keep asking. It's like George Mueller. You know, he was known as a great prayer warrior, one who talked to God a lot and got a lot of answers to prayer. But there were a couple of people he prayed for over 60 years. He prayed every day that God would save him. Say, why do you keep asking? Because the Lord said, keep asking. Keep talking to him about it. Keep talking to God about that. Lord, this is a neighbor of mine, this friend of mine. You know, Lord, they need to get saved. Lord, I'm praying for them today that you'd save them. And tomorrow I'm going to do it. Tomorrow and tomorrow. Lord, I'm going to keep doing it until I die. I'll keep doing that. Keep talking to God about it. Don't stop. Don't stop doing it. So pray without ceasing in that sense. Notice also in this passage, we ought to pray specifically. In other words, pray for something definite. You know, Lord, please bless the missionaries. Well, that's a wonderful prayer, but bless them with what? Bless them with a drought? Bless them with some money? Bless them with good health? What do you want to bless them with? I pray specifically. The Lord Jesus said in this same passage, verse 11, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? If he shall ask an egg, will he give him a scorpion? The Lord said, when you're talking to God, tell him what you want to know. Tell him what you want him to do. Ask him some things, but be specific. Now, when I remember when we got our VP, it's a sad day, VP Commodore. It's a little sad because it's laid up rather badly. Not in good shape, but that can happen to cars. But when we were looking for it, we went up to Adelaide and we said, right, we're going to go up there, we're going to fly up in the morning, buy a car and come back. And we'd been praying, Lord, Lord, we want a car. Lord, we want a car. We want a car. And we were praying, Lord, we want a white one. We want a station wagon, we want an automatic, we want a 6-seater. Lord, that's what we want. But, you know, that's what we need. You know, we've got to have a car. The other poor old van. after years of faithful servant had died and was about to die. And so, Lord, we need another car. By the way, we need another one now. So we were praying and we went up to Adelaide. We flew up in the morning, best plane I'd ever had in my life. Calm down on the tarmac off. We start going up, went right down Main North Road, checked all the car yards, and we were looking at red cars and green cars and station wagons and four-wheel drives. I said, what are we doing? Well, I said, what do you mean? I said, we asked God for a white Commodore automatic six-seater. Why are we looking at red cars? Why are we looking at green ones? You know, does it make sense? We've asked for something. It's like, you know, when the son says, if Stephen were to come to me and said this morning, can I have some bread? I said, sure, give him a lump of stone. That wouldn't make sense, would it? He asked for bread, that's what he wants. We were asking God for a white VP, well, not a VP, we're just whatever, but a Commodore, six-seater, automatic, and white, all that kind of stuff. That's what we wanted. And guess what? That's what God gave us. We had just the right money. Everything just fell in place. You say, surprise, surprise. Why would we be surprised? We asked for bread. We didn't expect stone. We asked for a particular car. We didn't expect something else. We're in danger of it. We're looking at all these other cars. Waste our time. Should have just gone to a car yard and said, you got a white station wagon or six. You haven't seen that. We could have saved ourselves half a day easily. Instead of it, just before 5 o'clock, we look in a newspaper and say, oh, here's one here. Oh, it's way down the other side of town. Oh, we'll better ring, see if it's still there. It's still there. That's the one we bought. Could have done that straight up. Waste a lot of time. But be specific. Be particular when you're praying about things. You say, what if God doesn't give it to you? That's okay. He's got something better. But it's easy to pray, oh Lord, please bless me. It's easy to pray that because you can't really test that very much, can you? But when you start praying specifically, then it gets a little bit more, uh-oh. And we almost hesitate to pray specifically because what if God doesn't answer? Oh. And so we will pray a general prayer. Oh Lord, please bless us. Please give us this or whatever. And what sort of relationship's that? My son comes and says he wants bread. If he wants bread, he doesn't tell me he wants a banana. He wants bread. And I might say, sorry, you can't have any bread. Why not? Well, there's none in the house today, but yeah, you can have an apple instead. Whatever, but be specific when we're praying. That's what relationship's about. You know, sometimes I say to my wife, not here so I can say it, I say, I can't read your mind. Tell me, what is it? Ladies, your husbands can't read your mind. Men, your wives can't read yours either. relationships, you've got to be, just kind of say what it is. And be gracious and be loving and kind and all that, but be specific. And then talk about everything to God. In Philippians 4, the Bible tells us there, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God. In everything. Talk to God about everything. We ought to practice this. Where am I going to park today, Lord? I hope you're going to... Lord, I need to find out where the bargains are today. When I get there, Lord, what should I wear today? And on it goes. Talk to God about... That's about having a relationship, isn't it? A parent with a child. A parent tells a child, you need to wear this, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to... Always telling them something, I know that. But it's relationship-oriented. About everything. You don't tell a young child, just do what you like. You tell them everything. And so when I'm talking to God, I need to tell him everything. I'm just a young child in God's eyes. Tell him everything. Lord, here's what I... This. Talk to God. That's praying about everything. And then one of the things you need to do when you're praying is remind God of his promises. Now, God doesn't mind that, I believe. I've done it often. I'm praying about a certain thing, and I go to the Word of God, and I say, God, here's what you say in your Word. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Lord, I lack wisdom. Boy, I'm real light on for wisdom. And God, I'm asked for wisdom. God says, I'll give it to you. If I've got a financial need, I say, Lord, I've got a financial need, and you've said in your word, da-da-da-da. When I'm looking to prepare a message, I'll oftentimes go to Proverbs 16, verse 3. The Bible says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. I say, Lord, I need you to establish my thoughts. Lord, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. Lord, I don't know. I could make up a whole bunch. Lord, I'm reminding you, you said if I commit the works to you, you'll establish my thoughts. And so I'm talking to God. But you do that? Do you talk to God and you're praying about different things and you remind God of what he's already said in his word? That's part of having a relationship with God. That's part of walking with God and having fellowship with God. You say, God, it's interesting in your word there, you know, it says about Enoch, or it says about this. And Lord, what about this? And you did that, and you did that. And Lord, you did that. Oh, help me not to go there, Lord, I remember. And you're talking with God, talking about everything. When you're praying, do you keep a prayer list? You know, we go, oh, Lord, please bless the missionary today. End of story. We forget all about that. We've forgotten about it. And we wouldn't know whether he blessed the missionary or not. And even if he did, we wouldn't know whether it was the one we prayed about. So we didn't pray about any particular one. We said, Lord, bless the missionary. And it's a convenient way to walk with God, isn't it? You know, you're not accountable for anything. Just, well, it's up to God. You know, whatever he wants to do. No, that's not a relationship. That's not walking. That's not having fellowship. That's not having an intimate relationship with the heart, meeting with the heart of God, with your heart, and walking with God. Have a prayer list. Write it down. You know, I'm starting to get a stack of them now. When we go door knocking, I meet someone new, I put their name on my prayer list. And when I'm talking to someone, I put their name on the prayer list. And, you know, I've got everybody, I put their name on the prayer list. And then if I'm praying about things, or if a missionary says pray about something, and I'll write that down. And we've got a youth camp coming up. I've got it on my prayer list, and I'm praying about it each day. And all those things, just keep a prayer list. So you can remember what you told God. I don't know about you, but I sometimes forget what I've spoken to him about. It's the same on a human level. And my wife says something. She said, oh, when did you tell me that? Oh, the other day I told you that. Oh, I forgot. Now, you and I are going to be like that with God if we're not careful. So write it down. Get a list, get a prayer list. And you know what's helpful about that? When your prayers are answered, you can say, praise God, that's what I was praying about. Amen, thank you, Lord. That's an answer to prayer. That's something I was talking to you about, and you've responded. Thank you, Lord, for that. That'll encourage you in your praying. That'll encourage you in your walk with God. Have a prayer list. And then part of me talking to God is also listening. I'm talking, but am I listening? Am I listening to what God is saying? You say, do you take time to listen to God? I try to. So what are you expecting? I'm expecting him to speak to me somehow. That's what I'm expecting. It's not all about me throwing words up in the sky. I'm also in this relationship with God, wanting him to speak to me. You know what it's like when two people try and speak at the same time? It's difficult, isn't it? You know, you're both talking at the same time. Someone's got to stop and listen to the other person sooner or later. And so part of my relationship with God is for me to, in my prayer time, in my time of talking with God, to do nothing more than listen. Listen what God has to say. Which leads me on to now God talking to us. Okay, so we're talking to God, but what about God talking to us? Well, it needs to be daily. It needs to be daily. If you don't take time to be with God daily, then you have a rather poor relationship with God. It's not as rich as it could be. If you're not, you say, how does God talk to us? Well, there's a number of ways he talks to us. Number one, he talks to us through the Word of God, through his own Word. And the Bible teaches us that we are to be daily in the Word of God. Daily. Not just when we feel like it, or when we need a verse to prop us up, daily. In the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 8, you don't need to turn there, but it's the only verse in the Bible that mentions success. And in that verse, in Joshua, God says to Joshua, you are to meditate in his word and to read it daily. Every day. Otherwise, what's happened? We've got a one-sided relationship. You say, well, I pray every day. Yeah, but do you let God talk to you? Or do you do all the talking? Now, some people like doing all the talking. Just talk, you know. It's interesting when you... some people, you kind of meet with them and they talk, and you go, yeah, And they say, thanks very much, really enjoyed that. You know, you haven't said anything, but they just like talking. Like a machine gun. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we're going to be like that with God. You know, we go, pray for this. Now, is God talking to us? Has God been talking to you? Has God spoken to you today? Do you have a walk with God? Whereas by this time today, God's already spoken to you about something. You've heard God speak to you about something. It needs to be daily. Matthew 4:4, the Lord Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And how often did he ask us to pray for daily bread? Daily. Give us this day our daily bread. Now the Lord Jesus said that the word of God needs to be part of our everyday life. If you're not reading your Bible every day, some part of the scriptures every day, then you are not in the kind of relationship that God wants for you. You're living in a poorer, at best, relationship than what God would have for you. It's just that simple. Daily in the Word of God. It's because God then will speak to us through His Word. Now, let's try and get this real, real basic so we know what we're talking about when we say God's going to speak to us. Here's what will happen. You'll be reading the scriptures. Okay, let's say this morning we're going to be reading through the Bible. We've got alone with God and we're taking time with God and we've opened up to Luke chapter 11 and we're reading through it. And we're looking at various verses there as we read through. And we see where it says, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. At that point, that verse may, as it were, come alive to you, and God says to you at that point, remember that thing you're praying about? It's all under control. It's all under control. Whoa, how did I get that? God says, I want to just encourage you a little this morning as you read my word. I want you to just listen to what I'm saying. You've asked for a certain thing. When we were looking for a new fridge, I was asking for a certain thing, and in my own heart, God said, you've got it. Now, it was some months before we got it, but God said, you got it. Why? Because I was asking something specifically. And so when we're reading God's word, there'll be a verse. It may not come up with neon lights flashing and bells clanging in your ear and everything else, but in your spirit, in your heart, in your own thoughts, you'll say, boy, that's true. That is true. Now, you know what you need to do then? At that point, a couple of things, at least one. Get a pencil or a biro or a highlighter and highlight that particular part or verse or parts of verses or verses. Because that point there is where God is speaking to you today through His Word. All right? Get your highlighter out, your biro, whatever. Or you may want to do that and also write it down somewhere. Maybe you've got a prayer journal or a notebook or something, and you've had this thought and you know that God is showing you something there. It's very clear that particular verse, write that down, or at least underline it, highlight it. That's God speaking to you about something in your life. Okay, so God will speak to us through His Word. In John, 1 John chapter 1, the Bible speaks there of having fellowship with God. If we walk in the light, then we have fellowship with God. Now, Psalm 119, verse 130 says this. The entrance of thy word gives light. You want to get some light from God so that you can have fellowship with God? Get it out of His word. The entrance of thy word gives light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. And I love that because that's good. I like to keep it simple. So God says, I'll give you understanding. The entrance of your word will give light And if I walk in the light, I will have fellowship with God and with God's people. And so I need to be daily in the Word of God so that God can give me light so that I can walk in that light and in fellowship with Him. So have a pen or a highlighter or a marker ready so that when God impresses a particular verse or part of a verse, highlight it in some way. Then as you're reading God's Word, and even before you start, maybe pray something like Psalm 119 verse 18. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. So here we are this morning. We're about to have what we would call a quiet time or a time with God. We open up the Bible. Before we even do that, we go, Lord, please, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law, out of thy word. Lord, I'm trusting you to show me something, to speak to me. I'm going to listen as I read for you to speak to me. So I open it up, and I open up the book of Job. Well, that's a good book to open to. And then I start reading there, and I'm looking now, I'm anticipating that God is going to show me something out of the book of Job. Okay? I'm expecting God to speak to me. I'm not looking for a voice out of the sky. But I'm looking for God to show me something here through the Spirit of God where I'll go, aha, oh, look at that. Whoa, Satan, what a wicked individual. Oh, wow, imagine that, or whatever. And so I've got my pen or pencil or biro, whatever it is, and I go, oh, look at that. Job, he was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Oh, I wonder if God would say that about me. Lord, would you say that about me? Perfect, upright, one that feared God. Oh, what a testimony. And maybe God will just keep you there on that verse for a little while, thinking about that. What about me? Am I perfect by God's definition? Am I upright? Am I fearing God? Oh, my. And so we've asked God for some light. We've asked God to open our eyes. And now this verse has got our attention. We want to try and read past it, but as soon as we do, we're still thinking about that other one. We better go back and have a look at that one again. And so we've asked God to speak to us. And then one other thing I do too, I get to some of these verses. I remember for a long time, Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. And Paul goes on there. And numbers of times I said, Lord, please help me to know the reality of that verse. Lord, help me to know what that means in practice in my life. And I don't know how many verses, but many verses through the scripture, many times I've said to God, as I'm reading his word, and I said, Lord, I don't know exactly what that means, but could you show me, Lord, make it real to me. I want to know this in truth. I want to know in my experience what this is about. I don't want to know, I don't know about you, but I don't want this religious stuff. I believe in God. No. You know, we have the privilege of walking with the God of the universe. And we have the privilege of being able to say to him, Lord, this particular verse, could you please make it real in my life? I want to know this in my experience. Lord, help me to understand these things and to know how I need to apply it and how I can be a blessing to others and all those things. Make it real. You see, we're talking now. I know I'm saying God's talking to us, but I'm also talking to him as well, remember. God's talking to us. You know, sometimes God will speak to me, and I'll show you how. John 10:27, the Lord Jesus said, they're my sheep, hear my voice, and I know them and they follow me. In the Old Testament, the prophet Elijah had been up on the mountain and there'd been great movement of God there, and great things happening, and the fire fell and the altar was consumed and the sacrifice and the water and the dust, everything, the fire of God licked up. The news got back to Jezebel what had happened through Ahab, and Jezebel said she was going to kill him. He ran off. He got down in the cave. And while he was down there in the cave, God began to deal with Elijah. And down there in that cave, while Elijah was there was an earthquake and the rocks were rent and there was fire and a great tumult. And then when all that had passed, the Bible says that there was just a still, small voice. Still small voice. And the Lord said to Elijah, Elijah, What doest thou here? What's going on, Elijah? What's happening? And sometimes, God will speak to you in that still, small voice. It won't be a voice coming out of the ceiling or anything else, but it'll be just a quiet voice of God speaking to you. Sometimes God will do that. Now you're going to have to be listening, aren't you? See, in relationships, we not only got to do some talking, we've got to do some listening. And so when we're reading the Word of God, it may be sometimes God in that still small voice will say, "That's you." It may be He's trying to rebuke us about some sin. It may be He's trying to call us into some kind of service for Him, whatever it is, but it'll be that still small voice. God speaking to us. Now, God speaks to us through His Word and through the Spirit of God, quietly speaking to us. God will speak to us through preaching. God will speak to us through others and through testimonies that people give and through reading books and all sorts of things. But I want to just finish with this one last thought. In Amos chapter 3, verse 3, the Bible says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" In our relationship with God, in our walk with God, in our fellowship with God, when there's a difference of opinion, God is always right. Okay? God is always right. And two cannot walk together except they be agreed. You better mark it down in your little prayer book or your little black book or whatever. When I come to a situation in my life where I don't agree with God, if I'm going to maintain my walk with Him, then God is always right. You say, what if you don't understand? It doesn't matter whether you don't understand. God is always right. You want to have a walk with God and a relationship with God, you better have that marked down in your book as well. And so this morning, as we close this time together, do you have a real living relationship with God? Do you know what it is to walk with God? Do you have fellowship with God? I'm not even asking now, are you saved? That's question number two. But do you have this relationship with God? Do you get in God's Word daily and allow God to speak to you? Do you talk with God? Are you specific? Are you dealing with things? And on it goes, all that we've spoken about this morning. But then before you can do that, you need to be saved. If you're not saved this morning, and God alone knows your heart. If you're not saved, you have no relationship with God whatsoever. It's not a matter of don't have a very good relationship. You have no relationship with God whatsoever until you're saved. And this is life eternal. They might know Thee, the only true God. If you're not saved this morning, let me encourage you to turn to God and trust the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross in your place and was buried and rose again the third day. Trust Him as your sin bearer. Trust Him for forgiveness of sin. Trust Him to bring you into a right relationship with the Heavenly Father. For remember what He said, no man comes to the Father but by Me. Let's pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. We're thankful, Lord, for this opportunity to look into Your Word together. We're thankful that eternal life is having a living, vital relationship with the living God who created all things, the one who rules the universe. Father, You know our hearts this morning, and Lord, I pray that, Lord, if there's anybody not saved, that they might see clearly this morning that they have no relationship with You whatsoever at this point. For without Christ in their life, they have no access to the Father. Maybe someone this morning needs to get saved, Lord, and I pray for them. Pray they might turn to You, turn to You and acknowledge that they are sinners, that they've done things they know that are clearly contrary to the Word of God, and that's called sin. And they would understand and acknowledge that Christ died on the cross for their sins according to the Scriptures, was buried and rose again the third day physically and bodily from the grave. They might say, "Dear God, please save me, a sinner. I believe Jesus died for me and rose again the third day. Please save me." Just while our eyes are closed. closed and heads bowed. Maybe there's someone this morning who needs to be saved. You'd say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to trust the Lord Jesus, my Saviour. I know nothing of a walk with God or a living relationship or fellowship with God. I believe in God and I believe there is a God, but I know nothing of this sort of relationship which you spoke about this morning. I need to be saved. Could you pray for me? Anybody at all? You just slip your hand up if you need to be saved this morning. I'm not going to embarrass you or call you out. You say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to trust the Lord Jesus, my Saviour, this morning. Please pray for me. Anybody at all? God's people, I'm not going to ask you to slip your hand up this morning, but I would ask you the question, do you have a real, living, vital relationship with God? Are you talking daily with God? Are you allowing God to talk daily with you? And again, I'm not going to make any invitation, but let me encourage you, if there's something you need to settle this morning to renew maybe your relationship with God, that you would deal with that. Now, Heavenly Father, may you work out your will and way in our lives. We're thankful, Lord, for the privilege that is ours, that through the Lord Jesus Christ we can come and know the God of the universe and have that vital, living relationship, that fellowship, that walk with you. Lord, I pray for each one here this morning, Lord, again, that they might know the reality of these things. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen.